Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to... Welcome, everybody. Have fun. All right?
What is this? Why are you still talking?
Let's have fun.
Why are you still talking? This isn't even going to go into the bonus audio version.
You don't know that.
That's true, I don't.
Welcome back, everybody.
I don't know what quality level the people listening to the audio version expect or get.
They like this is it shows that we're human, you know.
That's true.
We're just like everybody else, just a total fucking idiot.
That's right. You thought we were immortal gods of podcasting. We're just two guys, and it's late.
One person messes up, and the other one goes, "What are you doing?
What are you doing? stupid!"
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where, yes, we are continuing our Alan Moore-a-thon, Mason.
That's right. What you folks, you're out there, get yourself your classic eggy in a bready, cook it up, that classic British dish,
wasn't it,
and settle down.
Eggy in a basket,
yeah,
wasn't
probably,
it?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's not what it's called. When I eat those, I call them bullseyes. What do you call them?
Eggy in a bready.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as I know, it's not a traditional British dish. What they are thinking of, or what they should have put in all those scenes, those multiple scenes where it appears, is obviously frog in a pond. V should have delivered to Evie a chocolate frog in a big green jello.
Traditional English breakfast.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what you'd be getting.
Yeah. Just pour it out of a trough for your family, you know?
Anyways, of course, this week we are talking about Alan Moore's adaptation. Well, not his adaptation. An adaptation of Alan Moore's V for Vendetta. And I would say, of all the adaptations that we've seen that are movies, this is my favourite.
Interesting.
It's not perfect, but I feel like there's a real momentum to this.
Okay.
I get the message. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I see the guy and he's shouting and he's banging his fists and there's the signs behind him. And okay. I'm like, I think I get this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please leave a like if you get it too.
Oh, this is about like a used car salesman or something?
I think so.
I'll put you in a used Toyota Camry today.
What will it take for me to jam you in this Camry?
Jam you into a Camry.
That's good. What do you think of it, though?
Well, what I think I'm getting from previous weeks and also this episode is that the main mistake in attempting to adapt an Alan Moore project generally is there's always so much to them.
Yeah.
And Hollywood's like, yeah, we can knock this out in 2 hours. We can take 10 issues. Mm. And it's not like a...
And also add stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, you know, a standard issue superhero fare where it can be... You can take a 10-issue storyline and most of it is just they encounter the bad guy and then they have a, you know, they tie or lose and then they upgrade their armor.
Their lasers.
Their lasers and armor and then they come back and win ultimately. And in the interim, there's just... various bits of interchangeable dialogue that you can remove or change as necessary.
Yeah.
This is 10 issues, and I feel like it is all essential, the original. Yeah. But why not just chop it out, you know?
Absolutely.
Why not chop it out and sanitize it and...
add another subplot and whatever. But yeah, I think there's still a lot of things that I enjoy about this, even if it's not right,
okay,
for lack of a better word. I like the characterization of V, like the look. I mean, the look is from the comic.
Sure, yes.
Right? Like the personality, his physicality. I like the cadence of Hugo Weaving, whether he's, you know, reciting Shakespeare or just being like, I'm saying egg in basket or whatever. Sure. Whatever he's saying, I enjoy. Sure, he's a little dramatic.
Yeah.
And sure, you know, he's always...
Settle down,
he
V.
He needs to settle
God.
Down. Sometimes he'll pass a poster and he's like, I'm going to scratch a big V into this. Mm-hmm. Settle down, mate. But the fact that you don't see him at all, real, I mean, there's like the silhouette, you know, with the fire and whatever. But, you know, that you get a lot of emotion out of just the mask, and apparently that's also done from just different lighting techniques, because they were like, should we change the mask when he's feeling different emotions? And I think it's better that they didn't do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
What would they do, a live switcheroo?
Yeah. Someone just runs in upset.
Okay.
Yeah, just...
Just someone in theatre blacks just runs in, switches the mask on
Off. And it's like the tragedy comedy masks, you know, you just, switch them over.
Oh, do you think he'd have multiple masks on his head and just sort of awkwardly tilt them around?
Oh, that's good. What's that?
The Living Tribunal.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the He-Man character, but yes.
He-Man.
He-Man does that?
Yeah, he's got emotions.
Well, I like him, yeah. But Hugo Weaving, you probably know this, he didn't start filming this.
Was it James Purefoy?
It was.
Yeah, okay.
Pennyworth's Own. Keep that in your head.
That'll come back later.
We're coming back to that.
Yeah.
And of course, we're going to come back at the
end. There's a TV show called Pennyworth, in case people were wondering.
Actually,
that's not true. It's called Pennyworth, The Origin of Batman's Butler.
That's right.
Keep that in your head.
Keep that in your head. You'll need it. And also, we're going to talk about why Alan Moore hates this one specifically. But so he was cast originally, and he shot for 4 weeks, but then was replaced by Hugo Weaving because he wasn't gelling with it. But he's in it a lot. He was dubbed over.
Oh, I see.
So
right.
A lot of this, and you can't tell, is not Hugo Weaving.
I see.
And also stunt work, et cetera, and so forth, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. And also, speaking of, I remember this having more action in it than what it does.
Okay.
Like, he does some fighting at the start.
Sure.
There's a lot of torture and kind of walking around buildings and murdering priests and whatever.
All of those are kinds of action,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, well, that's true. And then at the end, he does his big karate thing at the end.
Sure,
you know?
Yes, that is
and
true.
But I like that, and I think the combat, on the whole, is very good, and this is obviously because the director of this worked on the Matrix movies as a second unit director.
And this was also written by the Wachowskis, or at least co-written by them?
Yes. Partially, yeah.
I mean, most of it was Alan Moore, I think.
Sure, I think he
did. The good bits.
Yeah, the good bits, certainly. Yeah. But it does feel like, even though it does get some Britishisms wrong, it gets a lot of it right. And I feel like the fact that the lead cop in this is just some schlubby dude who was probably in the bill at one point.
Okay.
I think that works as opposed
to... Well, one of them is Sherlock's nemesis.
Well, that's true. No, one of them is Sherlock's, the inspector.
Yeah, I like to think of him as his nemesis.
Yeah, okay.
His stupid nemesis.
Yeah.
Looking at evidence, Sherlock, not on my watch. Oh, you've solved it. Well, I look like a fool.
Yeah, thanks, I guess.
Yeah. But I thought, at the same time, I'm like, it really feels out of place that there are just these two good cops and they're trying to do their best here. It's like...
Well, there's a theory that the second cop, the one from Sherlock, is actually an inside man.
Right.
Because a lot of the things V does in this are completely inexplicable.
Sure.
And the only way that he or she or they would know what was happening is if there was somebody close enough to be feeding them information.
Yeah, right.
And I know V probably has police scanners and all of that, but there is a pretty solid theory that at least one of those cops, probably the second one, is helping.
You're saying a theory or an attempt to paper over plot holes?
You decide.
That one, I've already decided. I decided before you finished the sentence.
Yeah.
Also, something that I didn't care for in this movie is it's pretty nice, isn't it? The whole world's pretty nice.
Oh, you mean in terms of like this fascist takeover?
Yeah, this fascist dictatorship. Everybody's got like a nice house and a nice apartment and a big TV and every time it cut to someone, you know, a family in a nice terrace cottage, I'm like, oh, a lot of space. A lot of space in this.
In London.
Right?
Of all places.
Looks quite lovely, whereas in the, you know, I feel like the entire...
Yeah, the comic is not as...
No, it's...
There's
it's,
more this kind of... And there's a seedy underbelly of society.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of that, but and not
No,
really.
But I mean, this... I mean, the fascist part seems to have come from a completely different movie.
Right, yeah.
Where they're like, we've got to crack down on this, and we're going to... The people are rioting in the streets. No, they're not. They're all watching their TV and going, for sure. Evie, at the start of the comic book, is about to, you know, go out on the streets and try to make a living as a lady of the night.
Yeah, and she's 16.
Yeah, because life has been so hellish for her. And in this, she just works at a TV station or something.
Yeah, well, they had their same...
It's pretty nice. She's got a nice little blouse on.
Absolutely. But they had the same backstory in the comic. Like, her parents were taken away for, you know, for speaking out against the government. And it's the same thing here, except here she's just like, she's doing all right, yeah. But I think the idea of that was, you know, you put her in the same building, then V can come in, and then that's a whole... That whole thing can really kick off, you know what I mean? John Hurt, it was in 1984. And now he's
Big Brother.
He's become the thing.
Oh, makes you think, doesn't it?
He said he wouldn't do it. Remember in the movie and book? He was like, I hate 1984. This sucks. But look at him now.
This is the worst possible year to be in.
Oh, man. Yeah, so here's a few of the changes that they made, just a few. We mentioned like Evie and her story and character has
changed.
And
it's quite nice.
It's quite nice.
Everything's quite nice.
Quite significantly. There's no chemical attack either, subplot, or not even subplot. It's like the plot of this. The big secret reveal is at the end of this, that the chemical warfare, which caused Britain to turn to fascism, was actually... was internal.
Yes.
It was coming from inside the Britain.
That's right.
And and that's what caused them to rise to
power.
It was
coming from inside the old Bill.
Yeah. And this is one of Alan Maud's...
It's coming from inside a Greg's.
Sure. A Tesco's. Mm. And we'll talk more about this. One of the things Alan Moore doesn't like about this is V, in the comic book, he's less about freedom and he's more about just...
Anarchy. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And so, yeah, you don't get that sense of all. He's just... Because there's even a moment at the start, and it's very different in the comic than it is in the movie. In the movie, he goes on television and is like, don't you think something's wrong? Don't you think maybe we should do something about it? And I'll see you in a year and everybody can rise up. But in the comic book, he's like, fuck you. What are you doing? This is your fault, everybody. How did you let this happen?
Yeah. Another thing that is different, speaking of when he goes into the TV studio, another thing that is different is this proliferation of Guy Fawkes masks across the entire community.
Mm.
That's a new thing for the movie, whereas it's not. There's just the one in the comic book, which to me makes it makes the cops seem even dumber, because this is introduced quite early on in the movie, and at no point they're like, should we maybe see if we can find out who made a really big order of Guy Fawkes masks?
What was it? 800,000 plus or
something? Yeah, something like that.
They don't really know.
How'd he get enough to, you know, put on all this TV crew here? It's, maybe we should look into that.
Yeah.
There's no other clues,
Yeah, there's that. Oh, that would be the first thing I would do.
Yeah, there's literally only one place that makes those.
Maybe Handmaids makes them.
Yes.
He does a lot of things.
800,000.
Well, he does a lot of things because...
The first 100 are pretty good and the remaining are just... He's just gotten a bit like an exercise book and he's drawn one on a page and then just cut around it.
No eye holes.
No eye holes. Yeah. You make your own eye holes.
Well, that's like a big part of this character is that he's he, she, they. And we'll talk about the identity of who this person might be. Is very busy. For one, built like a little prison corridor for their hideout, which I really enjoy. Not to mention like working on voices and masks and all of those different things so you can play different personas, plus, you know, copyright gear and various other things. Dancing, sword play, kung fu and the like, all of these things.
It's astounding. Any member of the constabulary can stand up to V. You know, he's so good at fighting that empty knight's armor.
He's just having fun. He's just having fun. Yeah, but also chemically enhanced, and all of that. Yeah. He also rebuilt that train tunnel by himself. And also, as mentioned, manufactured and sent out, it was several hundred thousand masks. That's what they mentioned. They say upwards of, so who really knows? And then, of course, there's the dominoes thing. Like, that's not nothing. I've got some trivia about that. But, yeah, it was like 200 hours of domino placement to make that happen. Right, but that, to me, implies...
And that would have been a whole crew of disgruntled union prop guys.
No doubt.
So,
but,
you know.
But that, to me, also implies that, in this movie at least, and sure, this might be papering over, that V is more than one person.
Mm.
And so there's a few theories about their identity. So I'll be happy to get into a couple right
Please.
Now. And obviously it's different for the comics and the movies and et cetera. Because I think by this movie giving V the voice of Hugo Weaving and you see the body like burning in the fire, I think it takes away a lot of the ambiguity, because in the comics, all of the clues left and all the backstory we get about who this person can be, some of the evidence could be planted or fake or misinformation.
Yeah, yeah. And you never hear a voice.
No, you never hear a voice.
So it doesn't definitively mark it as one particular character, yeah.
That's right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And it's very much unknown in the comics, even more so, who this person is. And the point, I guess, of this character is, and they say it in the movie,
it could be you or me.
It could be you or me. It's supposed to be. It could be.
Is it you?
No, it's not me.
Okay, you're not under arrest.
Thank God. I got away with that one, didn't I? I mean, it's not me, but I got away with it.
Are you V for Vendetta? You got to say if you're V for Vendetta. That's the rules.
But, you know, yeah, the idea is that V, like Batman.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm interested.
Is an idea. Mm. You know, and not a person that, well, is a person that can be killed, but the ideas then don't die with that person. So again, it's not supposed to be important. V is a symbol, an idea, not a person. But here are some working theories.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Again, not that this matters. V is a member of Evie's family. It's even mentioned in the, you know, she thinks maybe it's her father. Mm-hmm. Alan Moore has come out and said definitively no, that's okay. Not the case.
Has he debunked all of these?
No, just that one. Yeah.
Okay, right.
V could also be 5, as in V.
So a member of the British boy band 5.
That's right.
Do you think Abs? Do you think it might have been Abs? I'm quickly Googling. I'm trying to remember another member of the band 5.
Let's go.
Okay.
If you're getting down, baby. I want it now, baby. Coming in and on, baby. I want it now.
Sean, Richie, Scott, Abs, Jay. Jay.
Could be Jay.
For Vendetta. Jay for Gendetta.
But I think that idea of there being 5 of this person.
He could also be a member of All Saints.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Very good. But I think the idea of V being 5 people makes sense from like a logistical point of view.
Sure.
Because maybe one's good at combat. Maybe one's just on the police radio.
Yeah,
maybe one's digging that tunnel out. Maybe one's just for the dominoes.
Maybe
you know?
One's got abs.
Maybe one's got, one of them would definitely have abs. Mm. But I think the theory that I like the most, mm-hmm. which is very much not confirmed, is that Valerie's partner, who was taken,
yes.
is V.
Right.
And through various experiments and hormones and the like, that's why there's the shrine. That's probably the theory that I like the most.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I like that they never tell you who it is.
Yeah, okay,
because then
sure.
you can be like me and be like, well, I think it's this. And someone else can be like, well, you're wrong. And I can be like, well, that's just your opinion, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the film studio can come out there and be like, everybody's talking about us. Everybody's buying those DVDs.
Everyone's talking a big game, aren't they?
Ah, yes, sir.
Also, there are a couple of moments that break the illusion of, you know, that it is a normal man under the mask.
Oh, yes.
You can see when V is fighting the suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where the head lifts up and you can see like the jaw underneath and it's just like regular skin.
Right. And you can see Hugo Weaving's signature Hugo tattoo that he has under his jaw.
And there's also, and the moment where Evie is kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
you can see the eyes of V. And
right,
it's like
uh-huh.
a stunt man or whatever, mm-hmm. but anyway. Have you got more things to say before it's green trivia?
No, I just said maybe they could find the company that makes the mask.
Yeah.
Make the mask.
Then you'd find the person
or
whatever.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, time for green trivia.
And the supercut of that guy yelling Rodney.
Oh, yeah, maybe they'll leave that till the end.
After this time?
I think so, yeah. Mix it up a little bit. Keep it fresh.
I don't like
and
this.
And for new viewers might be like, what are they talking about?
You gotta stick around. A professional barber was brought in to shave Natalie Portman's head, put on the V gloves and whatever,
uh-huh.
and they did it in one take with 3 cameras.
Huh.
That's good.
Yeah. You don't want to mess that up.
Nah. You can't really mess up a shaved head.
No,
I mean,
true.
I guess you can get the hair caught. in the thing, you know, and be like, ow, you're pulling. Stop.
Ow, I'm Natalie Portman. I'm famous.
I'm important.
How dare you? You're fired.
This is the year of Revenge of the Sith. This is a big year for me.
Ah.
While shooting the fight in Victoria Station, the stuntmen moved in slow motion on set, while David Leitch, Hugo Weaving stunt double, who's now a director, he did Bullet Train more recently.
I see.
Unless he didn't, in which case this will come out. He moved in real time, and it was shot in 60 frames per second to slow everything down further.
Fascinating.
I remember you saying you didn't like the trails on the
knives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they're knives. Someone will complain.
Oh, yeah? But, you think they're dirks, possibly?
Are they size?
They're not size.
They're not size. Gangnam style, James, Mason. No, you don't think so?
No.
Fine. How about this? Mm-hmm. The domino scene where V, Hugo Weaving, tips over black and red dominoes to form a giant letter V involved 22,000 dominoes. And as mentioned, took 200 hours plus four professional domino assemblers. So that speaks to there being also one V running around digging tunnels doing karate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Four other Vs setting up dominoes.
Yes.
Yeah. The dominoes used weren't regulation dominoes and had to be made custom for the film in order to have the appropriate weight to fall at a specific speed. So the material used was actually harvested from an Australian eucalyptus species commonly referred to as a blue gum. Which actually led to the working title of this film, Mason.
Yeah, go on.
You're not going to believe this.
I'm listening.
It was actually called Blue Harvest.
Wow.
Which, funnily enough, by coincidence, was the working title of the original Star Wars from 1977.
Incredible work.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, the hardest you work all week, I think.
I looked up types of trees. So, like, what's a blue gum, obviously.
Yeah.
In the late 90s, Joel Silver actually started to develop this film, and I want to talk about him a little bit more. Stanley Kubrick was offered to direct, but he turned it down in order to do films mainly stuck in development hell. So I think that would have been a very interesting combination of people.
Agreed.
I feel like Stanley Kubrick and Alan Moore could sit down and just, I don't know whether they'd get along or they'd start
hate each other,
hitting
maybe
each other with pint glasses.
Right?
I don't know. What is that? We'll never know
Never know, yeah.
God damn. If only I had a time machine. For other reasons, I probably wouldn't bother setting that
up. Seems like a massive waste of resources if you used it for that, actually.
Yeah. Box office for this, made on a budget of $54 million, at the box office itself, it made $132.5 million, which is pretty good, moderate success, but not a smash hit by any stretch. Mm. But anyway, forget all that. Forget money.
I'm not about
money. And V for Vendetta isn't about money either.
That's true. It's about anarchism.
It's about anarchism.
And eggies and breadies.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And metaphors and whatever.
Sure,
Shakespeare and big explosions. And you scratch a sign, you scratch a V into it.
And about a man who I'll never forget. Oh, you reckon? You reckon, Natalie Portman, you won't forget this guy who blew up London? You sure you won't forget this guy who imprisoned you? Oh, you won't forget him. Wow, that's really, really something. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Alan Moore was very critical of the movie for changing what he called the anarchy versus fascism structure of the graphic novel into what he saw was an exploration of American neoliberalism versus American neoconservatism. Mm. So he said, as a result of this, why not just set this in the US instead of Britain? Like, you're telling a US-centric story.
Yeah.
That's what this should be. Mm-hmm. But I love the British.
And they were all like, God damn it, why didn't he criticize us early? We should have done that.
People would have hated that.
Yeah. They could have replaced Stephen Fry with Jack Black.
High Fidelity it.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. Book set in London and movie set in Chicago?
Mm.
I don't know.
You're the only person I could turn to.
That's
what he sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
Producer Joel Silver said at a press conference that screenwriter Lana Wachowski had talked with Moore and that Moore was very excited about what Lana had to say. So Moore disputed this, reporting that he told Wachowski, "I didn't want anything to do with films. I wasn't interested in Hollywood," and he demanded that DC Comics force Warner Brothers to issue a public retraction and apology for Silver's blatant lies. And although Silver called Moore directly to apologize, there was no public retraction. But then Silver said later that he was actually referring to a meeting that had taken place about the rights 20 years earlier. So, yeah. And speaking of...
Sure, okay.
So there's a New York Times article where they spoke to David Lloyd, who you might know as the artiste on this work.
Oh, of course, yes.
And this was his reaction to the movie's production. He said he also found it difficult to sympathize with Mr. Moore's protests. When he and Mr. Moore sold the film rights to the comic book, Mr. Lloyd said, "We didn't do it innocently. Neither myself nor Alan thought we were signing it over to a board of trustees who would look after it like it was the Dead Sea Scrolls." And that has been a common complaint, and I've seen in the comments here, like, well, if he didn't want the things that he owned or had more ownership over to, you know, to be made, to be adapted, he shouldn't have sold off the rights, etc., and so forth. But, you know, you can still be like, this sucks.
For
like,
sure.
He's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And he's taken his name off most of the work, you know, that have been adapted because he's like, this is no good and I don't like it,
yeah,
Mason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also that, you know, a lot of that I think speaks to the larger picture of like the comic book industry, where a lot of, you know, there is definitely a huge power imbalance between creators and the comic book companies.
Yeah,
where,
definitely.
Like, you know, maybe you agree to adapt it, but like maybe that when you agree to work for one of the big companies, they were just like, "And we're going to adapt this, whether you like it or not."
So shut up.
So shut up.
Yeah.
Or you can go somewhere else.
That's right. Now this might not be the last we'll see of V for Vendetta, Mason.
What?
So would you like perhaps a sequel, a second Vendetta, perhaps?
Oh. Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, there's no sequel in the works. Don't even worry about it.
Oh.
But there was a series planned that went into development hell in the 2010s. But of course, to circle back around to Pennyworth, the origins of Batman's butler.
That's right.
The showrunner Danny Kanyon confirmed that Pennyworth would also serve as a loose prequel to V for Vendetta, with the British Civil War depicted in the first season, eventually leading to the formation of Norsefire, the government in V for Vendetta.
Which is crazy. And it makes me think for even a split second of my life I might consider watching Pennyworth.
Mm.
But that would...
I've heard it's all right.
I've heard it's all right. But that also... So does that mean that... So there's a British Civil War, which obviously never happened. So this is a parallel universe.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure...
Does that mean that this Batman is going to be born into a parallel universe?
Yes.
Or is there no Batman in this? In which case, the moniker of the origin of Batman's butler, very misleading when you think about
the
it.
The origin of a guy.
But I had seen some weeks ago a production still from the most recent season of Pennyworth in which there are people wearing Guy Fawkes masks. And I'm like, oh, that's a funny little reference.
Yeah.
But apparently it's not. They're just going to...
Just a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because obviously the comic itself tells an alternate future because it was written in the 80s.
Yes.
But it's set in the mid to late 90s. I always figured that's where the deviation is.
Yeah.
So this slide into fascism that Alan Moore was kind of, you know, afraid of and maybe not incorrect. You know what I mean, Mason?
Oh, it makes you think, doesn't
it? I hate to get political in this V for Vendetta video. Yeah.
Just talk about the knives, man.
Yeah. Anyways, I quite like this one.
Look, I mean, it's certainly not the worst adaptation.
No.
Thus far.
Thus far, yeah.
So
you would rank this like below Watchmen, for example, the movie, of the movie adaptations?
I think I would, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, people like Watchmen, I understand
that's
that.
That's true, yeah.
And we have a video on it.
That's true, way back when.
Yeah, but look, forget old videos. What about new videos?
What about new videos?
Because here's the video we'll be covering next week. I mean, movie that we're looking at, the Batman.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, have you seen it?
No.
Yeah, you're going to love it. And maybe another animated thing.
Really?
We'll talk about it next week.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, if you do want to see that early, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co. And why wouldn't you, Mason?
You would, though.
You would, because there's early videos.
Yes.
There's bonus podcasts.
That's correct.
There's movie commentaries.
Ooh.
There's exclusive content. There is a massive back catalogue on there. It's like our private Patreon that goes back. There's thousands of hours. That's too much stuff on there. And it's only available there. But if you're like, hey, I'd just rather listen to this YouTube channel and maybe your podcast, The Weekly Planet, where you talk movies and comics and TV shows, well, you can just do that.
That's right.
That's all you need to do.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get out of here, Mason.
Other groups that V for Vendetta could be revealed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Take That.
Oh, yeah.
Atomic Kitten.
Okay.
Bewitched.
Yep. These are all British bands.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They all have different personalities.
What was Ronan Keating? That was Irish.
It was in Boyzone.
That was Irish, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I don't think there's only four in that.
Mm. S Club 7.
How many?
Doesn't really work. It'd have to be VII.
Yeah.
Vendetta.
How many Baha men were there?
It's a great question.
There's so much.
They can set all those dogs on people.
That's
that would
true.
Be...
There was so much movement in that video. I don't remember. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.